I am your anchor, an ever-present help. In calm waters or through the storm, I am with you. When you feel weak, I am your strength, your provision in times of need. I am with you. In the highs and the lows, in every rhythm of life, I am with you. Your guide, your wisdom, your counsel, a light for the path and a lamp to your feet. I am with you to the very end of the age. You are never alone.
I'm so thankful that I am never alone. I am never alone. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you feel like isolated or a place where you're distant from other people, but I thank God that even the darkest night, the emptiest room, I have something inside of me that tells me that, Ben, you are never alone. I thank God for that presence today, do you? I thank God for the presence of what He is inside of me that I know that I'm never alone. Put your hand up if you've been here the last few weeks. Put your hand up if you've been here. Come on, work with me, people. Okay, great. So if you haven't been here, then you won't know that our current series is called Never Alone, 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 Alone. That our friends at Kingsgate Church in Peterborough, believe it or not, lent us that video. A great community down there. And we've been looking at who is the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's not Jack Daniels, okay? Who is the Holy Spirit? And what does it produce in our life? How does it work? And I love what Steve Matthew, part of our leadership team, and Dave Belfield, last week our senior leader, laid out a very normalized but very supernatural way of looking at who the Holy Spirit is. Because the Holy Spirit is supernatural in your normal. Every day you are never alone, so you've got the presence of God inside of you. So that means wherever you are, if God is in you, then God is there. And I've got some friends, I've got some guests coming up in a little bit, because today we wanted to do something a little different. Is that okay if we do something different? Okay, great. So we're going to do something a little bit different. But let me just set it up like this. You see, a relationship with God, so you might be an atheist in here, I kind of don't know where you stand with it all, but a relationship with God is a very personal thing. It's something that's very unique to you, and it's very personal, it's not very rigid. So I was talking to God the other day, and I was asking God, sorry, let me get this Google joke out, sorry. I was asking God the other day, what's a million years like to you, God? And He said, it's like 1 second. And I said, well, what's £1 million like to you, God? And He said, 1 penny. And I said, well, can I have a penny? And He said, just a second. Thank you for that one. But that is how I pray to God. I pray to God as He is just there, as if I'm just talking to Him. I don't know if that's what your relationship is like. And the Holy Spirit is in us, and I've really enjoyed this series as I've been in my own prayer life. Every day as I talk to God in the morning and through the day, I often ask the Holy Spirit to help me understand what God is trying to do today, and you're going to hear a little bit about what that looks like in a minute from one of our guests. This is the third part in our series, in a four-part series, but the final week of this series isn't next Sunday. It's actually on Tuesday night at Lyft. That's actually the fourth. Thank you very much. It's the fourth part in our series on Tuesday. Now, for a lot of you, you might be new here. We've got a lot of new people in our church community. And we've got a lot of new believers in our community. People who've rocked up and thought, oh my goodness, God makes sense. You know, I believe and have had great moments, but have never made, kind of drawn that line in that sand and said, okay, Holy Spirit, I want you to come and fill me. Which sounds a little bit strange, but we're going to go into it on Tuesday night. So you might be in here and you're thinking, okay, God the Father, I get that. You know, God the Son, Jesus, I get that. But the Holy Spirit, there's something in me that's going on during this series, or maybe you've been thinking about it. Come down on Tuesday. You'll hear more about it. And if you're open to it, we'll pray with you that the Holy Spirit will fill you and you'll have that experience. Now, for some of you, you had that moment time again. But for a long period of time, you've not really felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. Well, on Tuesday night at Lift at 7:30, we're going to also be praying for anyone that feels like they've lost that intimacy with the Holy Spirit. So you can come along and you can hear the stuff that we as a team are going to bring in a really safe, relaxed environment. It's in a smaller room, so it's a lot more kind of chilled. You're going to hear a bit more about it, but we're going to invite you in this space on Tuesday night to say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm ready. Come fill me. Or come fill me again. And we feel this would be an incredible end to a great series. That 3 weeks we've looked into it, we've looked at the practicalities of it, but here's the reality. Unless you make that personal decision, it's just knowledge. What we need to do is create space for a relationship to grow with you and God. So if you're in here and you're like, I've never heard that before, I'm coming, it's going to be awesome, I can't wait, I'm a little bit nervous, but that's okay. Or maybe you're in here and you're like, I need something more. I need him again. Come along because you'll be a part of it. And if your life is going great, you're doing 10 out of 10, swinging from the trees, fantastic. Come along anyway because you can be a part of it too. And we create a great environment. Okay, so that's Lift. Everyone say Lift. Come on, everyone say Lift. Okay, that's just for me to know that you're still with me. Okie doke. So we looked at who the Holy Spirit is. Well, on Steve's week, now, if you don't know who Steve is, he's from Yorkshire, but don't hold that against him. And his big analogy of who the Holy Spirit is, get this, it's a brew. It's a cup of tea. And he showed this video on the screen of the dissipation of tea bags. And on one side, yes, people, that's a thing. You can Google it. It's on YouTube. It's probably had about 5 million views up there with a cat that can play a piano. So he showed like a cold, some cold water and hot water, and he put a tea, well, he didn't, but there's a tea bag in each, and he looked at the dispersion rate of a tea bag. Is anybody yawning yet? But it's very good because what it showed is that we are the water. And in order for the Holy Spirit, for God to fill our life, we must remain hot. We just remained warm towards God, hot, passionate, devoted, and desiring God, and that will help this, what he called the divine infusion. Wow, I didn't know anyone from Yorkshire knew the word divine or infusion, but there you go, divine infusion, because that's what the Holy Spirit is in you. He is a divine infusion. And then the week after, Dave spoke about fusion, and he talked about who is the Holy Spirit to us in a very, very different way. That God is God and he's vast and he's great and he's big, but the Holy Spirit actually lives in your day to day, in your home, in your marriage, in your relationship, in your work, wherever you are, the Holy Spirit is at work. And we've had some great feedback as well. Okie doke, I think it's about time that I invited our guests out. What do you think, everyone? Wow, that was very... Okay, guys, come on stage. Can you please welcome to the stage Kathy, Kerry, Dan, and Beth. Come on, guys. Please encourage them. Come on. Excellent. A great-looking bunch of people. That's great. Okay, dokes. So, assume that nobody knows who you are, and you're talking to a group of strangers, okay? So, would you just introduce yourself? What's your name? Tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, what you do, or... Yeah.
Hi, I'm Kathy Atherton. I've been a midwife for all of my career, which is over 30 years. And currently I'm the Director of Midwifery at Lancashire Teaching Hospitals.
Wow, great. You don't have to introduce yourself with your full name. Kathy's fine. I feel like Kathy Atherton. That's fine. Kathy's fantastic. She's been a part of us for a long time. And it's great to have you on, Kathy. Really appreciate you. You won't know what this woman does. It's phenomenal. So we'll probably hear a bit about that in some of the stuff. Okay, next up.
Hiya, my name is Kerry. I am 37. And wow. I don't mind saying it. I've earned all 37 years. And I'm originally from London. My parents were ministers in London, and I moved to America maybe two or three different times to study. And then I moved here from the United States again about a year ago. And I am a lecturer at the University of Manchester, where I teach African diaspora history and American history.
Wow, that's great. We just learned about the Romans at school. That's really good, that. Thanks, Kerry, so much. Again, you're going to hear more about stories and background. So, okay.
Hello, I'm Beth. I'm 24. Nearly 25, that's why. 24, and I'm a full-time student in Liverpool at a place called Four Mission College, and I'm studying mission and theology.
Fantastic. Thank you, Beth. Thanks.
Hello, I'm Dan. So I lead the youth here. I've done for a few years. Pipe down. And I work in financial recruitment in Manchester. Been doing that for 3 years as well. So yeah.
Slightly less bigger applause then for the financial recruitment, isn't it? Yeah.
All the accountants.
Some lone guy. Yeah, I got a job. Great. Thanks so much, Dan, for coming and Beth. And just guys, thank you so much. So what I've done is, because we as a team know these guys, we've kind of asked them questions related to just their sphere and what they're going through in life. So I'll start off with Kathy, if that's okay. So Kathy, in your journey and in your kind of calling in the sphere of midwifery and how you feel that that's your tribe, the people that you're investing in trying to change your culture up in Preston and beyond, how does the Holy Spirit help you to inspire others, whether that's people in medicine or just the general public?
Okay, thanks, Ben. So I've obviously done this for a long time, and I still feel that it's a complete privilege to be a midwife. So although I hold a leadership position now, my heart and my soul is midwifery and working with women and babies and families. And now that I'm at this end of my career, I feel like it's great that I can influence others to also don't forget what's in your heart when you started off with your career. And just listening to this series about you are not alone and how the Holy Spirit helps you in your daily life, I was reminded when I was looking at my notes of what Dave Belfield said a couple of weeks ago, when he said the Holy Spirit uses situations to confirm your identity. And I felt that I did that a couple of weeks ago. One of the things that I absolutely love doing is speaking with student midwives. And I make it something that I do, that I go into the university, speak to them at the beginning of the course, and I speak to them at the end of the course. I very much want to nurture them and to help them during a time that's not always easy. And I think it's good for them to see me, that I'm a midwife, and, you know, my heart is still there. With all the values that I had when I was still sat in a seat as a student midwife all those years ago. And so I go and speak to them, and I did that fairly recently, and I sit and just chat with them like this and talk about situations that I know that they'll be seeing now and tell them about my own career and the challenges and but the opportunities that I've taken that now has put me in a position to be able to influence so that we can provide the best care that we can for women at a significant time in their lives.
Awesome. And so in terms of how the Holy Spirit has over the years sort of used you in that field, is there something you can recall that was really pointing to that you felt, you know, God was telling you to share or say or do? Because the reality is, like we've Dave said before, that the situation, God uses the situations to confirm our identity, that we are God's child. And so when you're doing your stuff with the midwives, and I'm talking like I know exactly what you do and what you say, so that what you do, God is there a part of it. So has there been a significant moment in the past where you feel the Holy Spirit's really stirred you to do something? Or
I'm sure there's been many, actually, Ben. And what I do as I have grown in my Christianity is that I pray before I do anything. So if I'm going into a significant meeting, for example, that is what I'll do. But I'll also do it, you know, just if I'm, if I'm walking through the service and I'm meeting women, and I try and understanding what they want from us and working with them. So we're doing lots of that at the moment. And again, watching midwives grow in their ability to listen to women in this time in their lives is great, because they're seeing, they feel that they're encouraged and they're able to meet women, and it will help us to get the service
Absolutely.
With the right values.
Yeah, I love that. So when you're driving to work, or before you're going into a meeting, or before you walk out of your office and you get to those floors where midwives are delivering children, you're praying, are you?
Absolutely.
And what kind of prayers do you pray? Kind of what's running through your mind before you get to those?
So clearly, the NHS at the moment is really pressured for a number of reasons, and midwifery is no different. Everybody just thinks, what a great job to be a midwife, and of course it is, but it's not so straightforward. Yeah. Especially the situations that we find ourselves in with very vulnerable women, and those are the sorts of things that I'll be praying for, that I'll be able to help midwives to say, I understand what you're going through. We've got through that before. Let's help you. Who else can help you? Let's encourage you to understand what that individual woman has in her life. She happens to be having a baby with us, but she brings a lot of other baggage often with her, and in very difficult situations. Her first language might not be English. She may have fled from a country. We have lots of women from Syria, for example. We have lots of women that don't want to be pregnant. We have women who've got who are living in poverty. So it is not so straightforward. However, being a mother and having a baby is a significant time. And so being able to empower women at that time to use the opportunity to be able to empower women at that time and to see what they've got that is good in their lives. Is often an opportunity, that no one else has ever said those things to them, and no one else has given them that strength and that courage. So it's much more than being a physical and a practical job, although that's a lot of it. It's a lot about the psychology and using your relational time with a woman and her family about the good values that you can then continue with in your life and with your family.
But I love that the engine room of that is your relationship with God. That I just think it's so cool that even as the guys sitting here, that's something they can work on this week, where they think, okay, every day now, as I'm on my commute to work, or when I'm getting stuff ready for the house, or I'm doing whatever, they can pray and ask God, help me to see what you're trying to do so that I can just get on the back of that. I don't need to create moments. I'm just going to go in and be me, and you're just going to create an opportunity for me to just, like you said, empower, encourage, support other people. That's great.
And I think just on from that, Ben, it is about understanding that God's put you there. So God's not going to leave you. So when you're feeling that you know this is going to be a difficult situation to manage, and it usually is, actually you're not alone. God's put you there. He's going to put words in your mouth. He's going to help you. He's going to help people to understand what you're saying and doing as well. And I've used that analogy so much when I've been afraid and not quite sure of the right thing to do. And afterwards I've thought, God, you're so good. You just gave me the right words to say then when that was such a difficult time.
That's awesome. Thanks so much, Kathy. And I guess I'd just fall on with Kerry, really, in terms of your kind of calling in the world of academia. Tell us a little bit about what the Holy Spirit does in that for you, in your career, in your kind of life on campus. Mm-hmm. Like, how does he help empower you in kind of that?
Yeah, Kathy's story resonated with me a lot, because I would say a lot of that sounds, except for life and death scenarios are not part of my job. So, you know, if I don't listen to the Holy Spirit every time, it couldn't be catastrophic. I'm joking. So I guess I'd say first that it was not necessarily inevitable that I would be a university professor. Even though I love my job, it's a difficult profession to get into and stay in. And I'm from a first-generation college student family. No one in my family went to university before. For me, I think my mother finished high school, but my father did not finish high school. So it's not necessary that was going to happen. So I'd say from probably when I was some of your guys' age, I'd say probably early teens through late teens, like the Holy Spirit, I was fortunate I was raised in a Christian family, so the Holy Spirit definitely gave me a sense of what my identity was and validated my identity to me. And by that, I mean, I was a very obnoxious young person, which I'm still very obnoxious now, but you can get away with it when you're older. And when you're a professor, people think it's cute, you know? So But when I was younger, it was not considered acceptable. I really felt at some point somebody actually prophesied of me once, Kerry's got an obnoxious energy. And I took that as validation that this was a good thing.
Thanks, Dad.
Definitely I'm wasn't joking. Him. So I'd say from a young age, I had a very strong sense that things were unjust in the world, that I was deeply upset by how things were around me in the community that I was in. I was upset by the opportunities that I didn't get because I was from a working class family. I was very deeply angered by racism growing up. That was something that I encountered a lot with the community that I was in. So I think from a very young age, God exposed me to things, and the Holy Spirit validated aspects of what I was kind of feeling about that, even when other people suggested that maybe it was not okay for me to be pushing in those areas. So from a young age, I had those kind of sentiments. And it went from there, really, was an interest in studying and understanding the way society operated. And God gave me, I think, a determination and energy, but I had to be diligent in that work, especially from my background. I had to work very hard to do that and stay in higher education. But I think God as well really at certain points gave me direction through the Holy Spirit and through people speaking with me about, and it gave me opportunities, even through non-Christians. I mean, he used people who were my mentors, who were teachers, who said, you're good at this, you know, who gave me a sense of self-esteem that I probably wouldn't have had otherwise. He said, you should apply to college and go on to college because you could be good at this. So there were certain things I think the Holy Spirit did, now looking back, that kind of meant that I had a shot to become who I became eventually in my work.
That's great. I would just love to kind of emphasize that point that you felt through your studies and realizing some stuff about society and yourself and what your role can be in society. I know Steve mentioned that in his first talk, he said that the Holy Spirit guides us. He guides us into all truth and he guides us along that path. So it's really interesting to hear Steve's words in my mind and then hear your story that you felt there was a presence all along in your life that was, steering, but certainly something that was helping you in the right direction.
Yeah, and I'd say certain point, I heard that 3 or 4 times in my life, like, leave this job, go somewhere else, apply for this, go there. That's why I came here, you know, me and my husband went away, we were at a job in the University of Wyoming in a Black Studies program there, and we just felt like, we need to pray about this. God told me, think outside the box. I was like, I'll apply for a job in England. So I did. One job. Got the job. I applied for 120 jobs every other time I applied for a job. So that was definitely the Holy Spirit, you know. So I'd say certainly in the big, that's not everybody. I don't think everybody, I realize now, hears from God in that way every time. I'd say the rest of it is this, I think that I'm doing God's will in building his kingdom. That was what I took from last week's sermon, which is my particular job in that is just in the academic realm to mentor young folks, to understand better how racial inequality, social injustice has come to be in the societies we live and work, and how they can maybe make a difference through their own labor, through their own relationships, to try to address that in different areas of society. So for me, that takes what you described, I think, which was when I go in the morning, I can't be all about selfish ambition, which would be very easy in my job, right? Which would be like, I'm going to go write some excellent articles that lots of people are going to read, you know? I've got to be in the morning praying, who am I going to see today? What student's going to come in my classroom that could have been me 20 years ago, right? That could make some significant difference in their community or their life. We're all small. I mean, I'm not making a massive difference, but I can in the individual students' lives. So I have to be about that work, which I think is God's work, not just about my work, right?
I love that, how God has placed you in such kind of a frontline sort of sphere of thinking and thought about racial inequality, because it just exists in every nation, every society. That's fantastic. I kind of want to springboard now to Beth and just ask you in your studies, Beth, and just your own experience. I know you've traveled a bit and you've gone on this journey of just being on mission. And what I mean by being on mission is that we as believers have a mission in life. We have something to live for, more like Kerry said, more than just a paycheck or notoriety, but it's to bring God in every environment in our life, to go and make disciples, and it's to go out there and love God and love people and wherever we are. So that is mission. So for you, Beth, I just wonder about your thoughts around how the Holy Spirit helps us, encourages, empowers us to kind of do that kind of work in our everyday
life. Yeah, so I think Yeah, I'm just passionate about like what you guys have just been talking about. People finding their place and doing what they want to do, whether it be with education or in the NHS or in whatever sphere of life that we're in, and helping people to see that you don't have to be in full-time ministry to be a missionary. Yeah. And that missionaries aren't maybe what we've always thought. So it's not necessarily just going to another country, but it's actually living on mission where we are. And one thing that we've learned about at college and something that I'm really passionate about now is actually how the Trinity, so God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, come together to help us in mission. So it's actually God's mission that we're on, you know. So that's why sometimes when we have our own mission and our own agenda, it doesn't necessarily work because we're not living on what God's asking us to do. So it's God, that's how God helps us. And then the Son, so Jesus came down to earth to actually embody mission and show us what love is. And then he left the Holy Spirit for us so that in whatever we're doing, in whatever sphere we find ourselves in, that we can help others and speak to other people about who he is and basically help him. And so I think that's kind of been my journey on actually that's what mission is. It's basically being present where you've been called to. So it's not feeling like, well, I only just do this, or I only have a part-time job, or I'm actually still at school. But it's wherever you are, yeah, that's where you're called to be at for this time, and you can still live on mission wherever you are.
I love that thought, and we just need to capture that. Be present wherever you are. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Sometimes I get home and I'm still at work. I'm still at the office, I'm still thinking things through, and it's a right old skill to be able to just go, no, that is there, or I'll deal with that later. Right now I'm with my family, this is here. And I think it would be true about the Holy Spirit, which is exactly what Kathy and Kerry and you were saying, that when you're in that environment, you are present. There is an awareness, I think would be a very good word. There's an awareness that there's more going on here. It's not my mission, it's God's mission. What is God doing? I'm here to support what God's doing in society. Yeah. I love that. Take that away, to be present where you are. That's great. Yeah. So for you, Dan, in terms of your journey over the years, and your dad, your full-time recruiter, your lead, our great Live Free, our young guys, our teens and olders, just tell us a little bit about how the Holy Spirit has helped you as an individual. So I've heard a lot about mission and being where we are, but in terms of your journey, what kind of role has the Holy Spirit played in that? How has he helped you grow?
So I think, like, the Holy Spirit is a person, isn't he? And like any relationship, you can grow apart or you can grow closer together. And I think it's a choice to grow with someone. And it's the same with, like, growing with the Holy Spirit. And I think the Holy Spirit plays so many different roles. Like, I play so many different roles in my life to different people, from a youth pastor to an advisor to a husband. And I find that as I've grown with the Holy Spirit, like, my life's grown, but, like, looking internally in my own life, my relationship has grown with the Holy Spirit to understand the different roles that he plays in my life and the different hats he puts on. And I think back to sort of, like, there's a guy that used to coach me in rugby, and he's, like, a really, really good coach. But he was just sort of, like, he would obviously teach us and bring us together as a team. He would discipline us when we'd been doing badly or, like, just, I don't know, messing about and things. He'd discipline us. He'd really encourage us. He would motivate us. He would correct us. And every time we had, like, a real big loss or something like that, he would be with us as a team. If we had a big loss as an individual, I remember being in the hospital once, and he came and, like, spent a couple of hours in the hospital with me. He was there by my side. And I think what I've learned about the Holy Spirit, which has been the pivotal thing in my relationship with God, because the first few years of coming to TCC when I decided to become a Christian, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, but I didn't realize it was him. So a lot of my sort of, like, understanding and revelation about who God was came through sitting in the services, listening to the talks, different mentors and friends that were in my life teaching me about God. And God was whispering away, but I didn't realize it was him. And I was laughing at this verse yesterday. I was cleaning my utility room yesterday. I was just listening to the Bible in here at the minute. I was laughing at this psalm, and it was basically David praying. I think it's Psalm 19 or 119 is one of them. And he was saying, like, God, keep me from lying to myself. And I was just laughing at that one, because I just thought, how many times, like, God tries to speak to me? She's talking about how I've grown. it's a choice to grow with God or not with God. And I guess every Christian in this room will have got to a point where you felt like a bit of a whisper. And like non-Christians will put it down to a conscience. Your conscience is telling you that, and that's just sort of like your psychological makeup. But as I said, the Holy Spirit is much more than just a disciplinarian that wants to correct you. It's so much more. It's a support. He's all these different things. And there's been so many times where I will have a plan that I want to pursue in my life, and I'll have planned something out for Live Free, or I'll have planned something out for what I'm doing at work, and I'll be going along, and then the Holy Spirit will just stop me and whisper something to me. And I've over time got used to listening to that, spotting that, and then being like, okay, God, I'll change my plans. So being a Live Free, like, there's loads of times where I've just turned up and we've got a run sheet for the night and just been like, okay, we're not doing that anymore. We're going to go with this. Do you know what I mean? It's that type of thing. But when you can apply that to your life as well, from your work to your family and things, it allows God to speak and then for you to respond to him speaking as well.
I love that, how you're just doing something so not, like you say, oh God, help me not to lie to myself. That's so true. And I like the fact how what you're saying, your principle, is so transmittable to every area of your life, whether that, you know, the fatherhood, the husband, the work, whatever. I love that you can start to now discern, is this a deeper urge? Is this a deeper thing that is pulling me towards something that might be a bit counterintuitive or might cross a bit of a boundary, you know, in an ethical way, it might cross a boundary, but you know that's God, you know. And for any of you guys, just wonder if you want to add anything to anything anyone said, just because I definitely don't want to miss this opportunity. Are you?
Yeah, I was gonna, that piece about ethical, you know, how sometimes Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you're like, okay, that's kind of not what I would be expecting to do in this situation. That happens to me a lot in my workplace because and I'm sure this resonates with folks, but, you know, in my workplace, there are very rigid expectations of what I should be keeping on target in my job. I'm sure NHS is the same way. Educational targets are like the number one priority. We must be publishing this many articles a semester. We must be going out to this many schools. We must be teaching this many students. It can become very anxiety producing. It becomes very easy for that to be your focus in the job, and my sense of responsibility then is to please my bosses, to keep them happy so that I don't get laid off. And people at my job get laid off all the time, right? So for me, I guess where I have to listen to the Holy Spirit very clearly is sometimes Holy Spirit's telling me to do things that are in complete contradiction to the things that are the expectations by my bosses. Like, they actually want me, you know, to not focus on students that much, but I want relationships with students because that's what God's calling me to. So I have to live in what I would say is opposition to the kind of expectations that everybody else has normalized within my profession in order to be building the kingdom in that space. It is oppositional work, you know. So I must be seeking love from God and to please God, not seeking love and affirmation from my bosses or living in fear of my bosses.
Wow.
Not to disrespect my bosses, because
they're also driven
by things too. But
yeah, because you wouldn't be there anyway if you didn't want to be there. But I just love that fact. It can be anxiety-driven rather than Holy Spirit-driven in that sense. And I like the fact how it can be about pleasing the boss. I think a lot of people can resonate with or a different kind of figure, authority figure in our life, trying to please and appease that person so that we feel like we will keep security when our Father, like you said before, Beth, our Heavenly Father, is far bigger and greater than any single one of us. And he is the guy who knows what truth is and love is and grace is. And I love that, how God speaks that. That's great. That's great. Well, I've really enjoyed this. I've really enjoyed the conversation. Have you? Okay, good. Well, I think I've stopped embarrassing you enough now. So I'll let you go off stage. But before you do, thanks so much for coming up here. And you just need to thank these guys for giving me the time and the energy. Thanks so much, guys. Thank you. Thanks. And the band can jump on stage because we're going to finish in about 5 minutes' time. We're going to start singing a song together before we close. Why don't you jump up to your feet? I want to close with an encouragement. If you're able to stand, won't you stand with me? Stretch out those arms. Stretch out those legs. Do what you need to do. Last week, Dave Belfield, our senior leader, shared a great thought that when you have a relationship with God, you have what he called my child moments. And it came from a Bible verse, a story in Jesus' life where Jesus heard God's voice, his father's voice, and it said, "This is my son who I am well pleased." And Dave was explaining to us that when you have a relationship with God, that he actually creates those moments of confirmation in your life, my child moments. Whether that's something someone spoke to you about, whether that was just a random thing that came in your head, like maybe you're a bit like Kerry, where you feel or where you hear God's voice very directly on occasion. But I just want to create a moment now for you to have that yourself. So there's some people in here who might be here for the first time or who've been coming for a while but have never decided to follow God or even believe in Jesus and God. And I want to create an opportunity for you to have a my child moment for the first time. I remember I was in a gathering once, and I was a young kid. And I remember we're just in a big crowd, and it was just me and my dad. And so we were just walking around, and it was at a church event, an old church event. And I was looking for him. I was like, "Where's dad? I can't see him." So I was looking around for a while, and then you start thinking, "Oh, you know, poop." I can say that on stage. Sorry. Where's my dad? And I remember there was one guy who I bumped into who I knew, and I went up to him and said, "I can't find my dad. Do you know where he is?" And he said, "Oh yeah, I can see dad. He's just over there." And he walked me to him and found my dad. And I was probably asking him for some money or something. So that ended great. That is exactly what the Holy Spirit does to us. We have Father, Son, and Spirit. The Son, like Beth says, shows us what love is when we read our Bible. And then after he left, he gave us the Holy Spirit as someone who continually points to the Father. Who, when we pray, he's constantly helping our thoughts and our hearts and our soul. When we sing songs, "It is well with my soul," it is because it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're saying, "Focus my mind and my energy, not on my anxiety, not on my problems, not on my selfishness or my guilt or my shame. Holy Spirit, point me to my Father, my Heavenly Father."